Now, if you have your Bibles, I want us to turn real quickly to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. I want you to notice the 16th verse, please. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Then I'd like for you to turn back to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and I'd like to read a verse here, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and here we shall read verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own?" And then in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, we shall also here read the 16th verse. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And then also we'd like to use in connection with this verse, the verse in 1 John, the 4th chapter, and the 4th verse, the latter part of the verse. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Now, Jesus stated in the 16th chapter of John's Gospel, or the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, the 16th and 17th verses, that "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." Now, we know that what Jesus is talking about here, the world cannot receive. The world can receive salvation and the new birth and eternal life, can be born again. And though it is the Holy Spirit that recreates the human spirit in the new birth, and though it is the Holy Spirit that bears witness with our spirits that we're the children of God, yet, that's not what Jesus was talking about here, because you notice he said in the 17th verse, "even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." Amen. Whom the world cannot receive. And then we know that the world, as we said, can receive Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Christ comes in to dwell, and yet it's in the person of the Holy Spirit that he comes into us. Yet that's not called receiving the Holy Ghost. That's called receiving salvation. That's called being born again. And receiving the Holy Ghost as a divine personality is an experience subsequent to salvation. You find that throughout the Acts of the Apostles. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. They gave heed unto him, both hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now notice, he didn't preach the Holy Ghost unto them. He preached Christ unto them. You see, you don't preach the Holy Ghost to the world. You preach Christ to the world, but you can preach the Holy Ghost to Christians. Amen. Notice something else that Jesus said in the 11th chapter of Luke's Gospel, and about the 11th through the 13th verses, Jesus makes mention of this fact. "If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your your children, or if any of you being a father, and his son ask him for bread, will he offer him a stone?" And so on. Then he said, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him?" Now I want you to notice this. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask it. The Holy Ghost is God's gift to his children, not to sinners. Now I want you to notice this. God so loved the world, we know that. We've quoted that, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is God's gift to the world. Now you know we have wide variety of teaching in the church world as a whole on this subject. Now there are those on one side of the fence that said, well, if you're saved, if you're born again, you have the Holy Ghost, and that's all the Holy Ghost there is. You don't need to seek for any more. But that isn't true. You see, if you were born again, you do know the Holy Spirit. You came and became acquainted with him in the new birth. And certainly you know him. But that's not all the Holy Spirit there is. You know, Jesus uses water as a type of the Holy Spirit. And just because you've had one glass of water is no sign that that's all the water there is in the world, or even all the water you need. You need to keep drinking water till you get full. And Jesus uses water as a type of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And so you can keep drinking of the Spirit till you get full, praise God. Just because you've had some experience in the Spirit doesn't mean that you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Keep on drinking till you get full. Well, now someone said, how can you tell when you get full? You'll begin to speak with other tongues like they did on the day of Pentecost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Then on the other side of the ledger, or on the other side of the road, so to speak, there are those that say that no one's really saved unless they are baptized with the Holy Ghost or filled with the Holy Ghost and have spoken with other tongues. But you see, that won't bear up under scriptural examination. Because Jesus said here to his disciples, I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you or give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Amen. So he said the world cannot receive what he's talking about here. Is that correct? You know, it's the most dangerous thing in the world, actually, to put sinners down seeking the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's the most dangerous thing in the world.
Amen.
Because, you see, they don't know which spirit is what. Or what spirit's which. Either way you want to say it, I guess. They don't know. And they may just yield to the wrong spirit. And you know there's more than one spirit out there?
Amen.
But when you know the Lord Jesus, when God the Father becomes your Father in the new birth, when you ask him, you're not going to get the wrong spirit. You can't.
Amen.
For if you could, then the Lord Jesus Christ told a lie. Somebody came to me some time ago and said, Brother Hagin, and we've heard all of these foolish sayings through the many years. I heard them when I was yet a young Baptist boy preaching. I first got started. They said, you know, that, and I, like I said, I heard this way back there then, you still hear it, that somebody down seeking God and that they spoke in tongues and the folks said, well, that's the Holy Ghost, but that there's some missionary there and he understood the language, and they said this person was actually cursing in another language, cursing God. Person came to me and said that to me. I said, who told that? They said, why? I said, whoever it is lied. Even if it's you, you're a liar. They looked at me, you know. Well, they said, a preacher told it. I said, he's a liar. He's a liar. Don't mind telling you, he's a liar.
Sure is.
I said, he's a liar. Now, in the first place, I said, were you there? Oh, no, no. They said, I wasn't there. Well, do you really know anybody who was there? No, I don't know anybody who was there. But this preacher told it, and someone else told him. Oh, yeah, I said. Well, I said, I'll inform you that I heard that way on back yonder when I was just a Baptist boy preacher. But if a person who is a Christian, who's a real child of God, was seeking God and got an evil spirit, then Jesus Christ has become a partner to a lie.
Yes, that's
I said, he said they couldn't.
Amen.
Right there in Luke, I've already quoted it to you.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, I'd rather accuse preachers or men or anybody else of being a liar except Jesus, hadn't you?
Yeah.
In fact, the Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. But now, wait a minute. It's another problem entirely when a rank sinner who's never been saved comes, someone tries to get him to seek the Holy Ghost. That's a different story. He could get a wrong spirit.
Amen.
I've been there. I know. I've seen folks do it. I mean, after they had. I wouldn't have permitted it in my meetings, but I was holding a meeting in a certain place, and I knew in my spirit. I sensed in my spirit. I perceived that a certain woman in this prayer line and line to be filled with the Holy Ghost had an evil spirit in her. And so when she stood before me, because we just lined folks up, and I sat in the chair on the platform and laid hands on them as they went by to pray for the healing and pray for them to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And as she came by, as I laid hands on her, I said to her, are you a Christian? She said, I am. Why, she said, I've even got the Holy Ghost. You only hear me talking tongues? And she started rattling off something. But it wasn't tongues. It was just sort of a gibberish. It wasn't tongues. I knew it wasn't tongues. But you know, thank God, we're not left in the dark. It scares some people to death, you know, for you talk about demons or evil spirits, they just get all scared to death. But you don't have to be scared if you can read. Just read your Bible.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Just read your Bible.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us every spirit that confesseth not that Christ is come in the flesh is Antichrist. Now, you see, you could have dealt with this woman some other time other than when this was in manifestation, and she could have said out of her mind, Christ is come in the flesh. But you see, you had to do it while this spirit in her is in manifestation. And so I said, say this prayer after me, sister. And I started praying, and I said, Heavenly Father. And she followed me and said, Heavenly Father. And then I said, I acknowledge that you are God. And she said, I acknowledge that you are God. And then I said, and the Lord Jesus Christ is your Son, and he is come in the flesh. And she said, didn't say the Lord Jesus. She said, and Jesus Christ is not your Son, and he's not come in the flesh. Well, now that's quite obvious. That's not the right spirit, isn't it? But you see, this woman had gone around those who said, you're not really saved unless your filth Holy Ghost spoke with tongues. And they put her as a sinner down seeking the Holy Ghost, and she came up with the wrong spirit.
Amen.
Finally, she said to me, something here on the inside of me, it was in her spirit, won't let me say what you said. I said, I know it. You want to be free? She said, I do. Thank God we cast that spirit out of her. And before the night was over, she was speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Praise the Lord, as the Holy Ghost gives us. And so it is a dangerous thing for sinners to seek to be filled with the Spirit. They need to be saved first.
Amen.
You need to be made a new creature in Christ Jesus first.
Amen.
Then you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now the text that we've read this afternoon, Paul is writing a letter to believers. Now someone came to me and said, I'm a Christian, and I've already got the Holy Ghost. Paul said, right to the church at Corinth, said, what, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And they said to me here about the scripture in 2 Corinthians, and so I've already got the Holy Ghost. What do I need to be seeking the Holy Ghost? I said, have you spoken to other tongues? Oh, no, I don't need to. I've got the Holy Ghost. Well, I said, the people Paul was writing to spoke with other tongues.
Amen.
They spoke with other tongues. Read the whole letter, 1 Corinthians. The whole letter. They all talked with tongues so much when they came to church, it seemed that they all wanted to speak with tongues at once. And they all couldn't speak with tongues. Because if you just care to turn over to this 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians... Just turn right over to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'll read you something. First Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Now notice, 23rd verse. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? You see, if everybody's talking in tongues, and that's all they did, in fact, in this service, if everybody here, all of us was talking in tongues at once, no interpretation, no nothing, all of us, that's all we did, and unlearned people came in, that is unlearned in scriptural things, or unbelievers came in, they'd think we were all crazy.
Amen, that's the truth.
See, tongues is not for preaching and for teaching. We know that. But I wanted to point out to you that this letter, when he said, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you?" When he wrote and said, "Ye are the temple of the living God," as God has said, "I'll dwell in them, I'll walk in them, I'll be their God, they'll be my people." He wasn't writing, and you can't just apply that to any church. He wrote that to the church at Corinth, who had not only been born again, but had been filled with the Holy Spirit and spoken with other tongues. Now, it is certainly true that the born-again, Spirit-filled believer, I maintain, has in him, praise God, ready, on tap, ready for use.
Amen.
All the power and all anything else he'll ever need to put him over.
Praise the Lord.
Because, you see, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now notice that Jesus said, back again to John 14:16, "I will pray the Father, and he, the Father, will give you another comforter, that he, the other comforter, may abide with you forever." And so then John writes a letter to believers, and he said, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." Hallelujah. And here in this text, in 2 Corinthians 6:16, he said, "For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them." Now, I like the Amplified translation on this verse. God said, "I'll dwell in and with and among them. And I'll walk in and with and among them, and I'll be their God, they'll be my people." Praise God. God in the person of the Holy Ghost lives in us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This 16th verse of the 3rd chapter, 1 Corinthians, said, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? For the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." Now again, I like the Amplified translation on this verse. "Know ye not," he said, "that you, the whole church at Corinth, are God's dwelling place or temple. And also you individually." Hallelujah. "For the Spirit of God makes his home in you." Hallelujah. Now then, back in the Old Testament, no one had, in the same sense, the Holy Ghost living in them. In the Old Covenant, the Holy Ghost would come upon them to anoint them to stand in certain offices and minister in certain places. The priest would be anointed by the Spirit, the king would be anointed by the Spirit, and the prophet would be anointed by the Spirit to function in their place. But what we would call just the laity or the lay member, you see, he had no real presence of God in him at all. Not only in him, but with him as an individual. The presence of God was kept shut up in the holies of holies. And every male from throughout Israel had to present himself at least once a year before the Lord. And you remember that the woman at the well of Samaria said to Jesus, now our forefathers worshiped God in these mountains or this mountain, that the Jews say you have to worship God in Jerusalem. Jesus said the time has come and now is, that they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And so when Jesus died on the cross, you remember just before he died, he said, "It's finished. It is finished. Well, now, he wasn't talking about the new covenant being finished because it wasn't finished. He wasn't talking about the plan of salvation being finished because it wasn't finished. It wasn't finished until he was raised from the dead and entered into the heavenly holies of holies with his blood to obtain an eternal redemption for us. But when Jesus said it is finished, he's talking about the old covenant being finished. Because when he died, the curtain that curtained off the holiest of holies was rent in twain, the Bible said, from top to bottom.
Amen.
Now Flavius Josephus, the Jewish historian, said that this holiest of holies was curtained off with a curtain that was 40 feet wide, 20 feet high, and 4 inches thick. And 20 feet up there in the air, praise God, an angel. It's significant the way it said, because it said it was rent. That just simply means it's torn in two from top to bottom. Up there 20 feet in the air, an unseen being, an angel no doubt, just ripped that thing apart.
Praise.
God moved out.
Praise.
God moved out. You see, the presence of God, the Jews would call it the Shekinah glory. The presence of God moved out. You know, there in that holiest of holies, no one but the high priest could approach unto that presence. And he only under great precautions.
Amen.
And if anyone else intruded into that place, they fell dead instantly.
Amen.
But bless God, God moved out of that place. And he no longer dwells in earth made holy of holies.
Amen.
But under the new covenant, our bodies have become the temples of God. And the presence of God. See, the presence of God that Israel had with them, not in them, but with them, in the person of this presence in the holiest of holies, that presence lives in each one of us.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. I'll tell you, that's shouting ground, isn't it?
Amen.
Now you see, they had God with them back there then. God was with them. They had God for them. Thank God we've got God with us and we've got God for us, but we've got a better covenant established upon better promises.
Amen.
We not only have God with us and God in us or for us, but we have God with us or in us.
Amen.
All three of them.
Hallelujah.
All three of them. And I like this 16th verse particularly of 2 Corinthians that says, "For ye..." Now he's talking to the church at Corinth as a group of people. "Ye are the temple of the living God." Now, as we've already said, Paul stated over here in 1 Corinthians 3:16, writing to the church at Corinth, "Know ye not that ye, the whole church at Corinth, are the temple of God?"
Yes.
"And also you individually." You see, the whole body of Christ is indwelt by his presence. The spiritual body. Now then, you see, there's just something about it. If a person's a Christian walking in fellowship, you can tell it. I don't care what church you're a member of. Now, if we're just religious-minded, and we've just got religion in our minds and in our heads, we won't be able to tell it. But if we really been born again, I don't care. I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost now. I'm just talking about the new birth. If we really been born again, if we're really children of God, we're in the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And this presence of God lives in this body. I was preaching down at Brother Goodwin's church. Many of these here, well, I'll just refer to this illustration. Just happened to think of it. I was preaching down in his church a couple of years ago or more, down in Pasadena, Texas, and so we were going over on a Saturday. We had no service on Saturday. We were going over to see another preacher. In fact, we talked to him on the phone some, but we were going to hold a meeting in his church. Well, I come to the outskirts of Houston there, and there's just a road out here, you know, and nothing but trees lying east side of the road, and I was going a little fast, and really I didn't see any speed limit. And before I knew it, well, there's a car behind me with a red light on, you know. And so I stopped, and a fellow came up and wanted to see my driver's license. Of course, he showed it to me. There wasn't anything on my driver's license. See, they said I was a ministering thing, just my name there. And And so this fellow said, well, I readily admitted, you know, how fast it's going, but I thought, you know, that it's the speed limit out here. And he said, well, no, this is a little out of, you know, out of way place, all right, and you wouldn't think that. But right, just directly, you're going to run into some houses up here now, and that's the reason it's back here. But this is really a 40-mile limit. I was going about 50 miles, see. This is really a 40-mile limit right along here, too. And he said, I know this is way out here, all right, and you may not, and you probably didn't realize that, but thing is that right away you're going to run into some houses, so of course you just wanted to slow folks down. Well, I hadn't seen a sign, but there's one back there somewhere. He said there was. But then, you know, he said to me, he said, are you a preacher? He said, I'll tell you one thing, you're a Christian at least. I believe you're a preacher. I said, yeah, I am. I'm a preacher. He reached out, shook hands with me, the policeman, you know. He said, you know, said, praise the Lord. He said, I've just been saved about a month. He said, I got saved, and he mentioned some Baptist church there in Houston. I got saved over here, he said, about a month ago in this Baptist church. He said, you know, there's something about it when you get this new birth and you get saved. He said, you, I found out you can just tell it. Praise the Lord. He said, I knew the minute I walked up here. Said, my spirit bore witness with your spirit somewhere. You see, he sensed that same presence.
Amen.
And then he could see something else there, and he said he just thought I was a preacher. Well, he just handed my driver's license back. He said, well, we're way off out here, you know, in the outer edge, and but you're about to run into some houses. Just watch and don't drive too fast along here. And so I thanked him and went on. But I thought that's strange. Now, here's a fella that has the new birth. He got saved in a Baptist church. But you know the new birth's the same regardless of what church it was in.
Amen.
I mean, the Baptists don't have one new birth, and the Methodists got another new birth, and the Assembly of God got another new birth, and somebody else got another new birth. Brother, they just one new birth.
Amen.
I mean, if you were really born again. Now, like I said, it's another thing just to have religion in your head and to have a few religious inclinations. That's one thing, you know. But, oh, when you've got that presence with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so you see, we as individual, as an individual, Israel had the presence of God with them, not in the same sense we do as individuals. That individual off out yonder in some other town, that presence wasn't there. That presence of God was kept shut up in the holies of holies. And it said that every male from 20 years of age and older upward had to present himself at least once a year before the Lord. That's where the Lord was, there in Jerusalem. See? And he had to present himself there. But that same presence, all glory to God, is with us as Christians.
Amen.
As believers.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
And God said, you see, I'll dwell among them. I'll dwell among them and with them. And then he said, I'll dwell in them. And then we can be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Praise God forevermore. And so here is a divine potential that we really barely touched. It really hasn't dawned on us yet what he's saying to us. But as I said, the Amplified Translation has it, God said, I'll dwell in and with and among them. And I'll walk in and I'll walk with and I'll walk among them. Now, when we know that, when we believe that, then a lot of praying and seeking God, as necessary as it is, but a lot of praying and seeking God that we've done along some lines was really unnecessary. What we needed to have done was recognize He's among us.
Amen.
And then expect Him, because He is among us and with us, to manifest Himself among us the way He said He would in the Word.
Hallelujah.
I was preaching down there in the Houston area, and a minister said to me, he said, Brother Hagin, would you come to my church? Now, he said, I'm just going to be perfectly frank and honest with you. He said, I didn't just always maybe agree and believe in your ministry. But he said, I'm going to tell you the truth about our church. It's so dead and so dry, they hadn't anything happened there so long until I'm just ready to admit you bound to have the answer, because we don't have it. And if you could come and teach. We need help. Well, I said, brother, I have many, many obligations, many places to go, and I don't know whether I'd come or not. Only way I tell you is if the Lord told me to come, I'd come. Now, he never has said go. But then this brother said to me, now listen, this minister said to me, who's not just a novice, I mean, I suppose he's been preaching over 30 years, 35 years possibly. He said to me, in our church, it's just so dry, we never have any, and it's a full gospel church, we never have any manifestation of the Spirit, not even a message in tongues with interpretation. He said, for the last 18 months, nearly 2 years, we've been praying. In fact, he said, I fasted myself one time 21 days. I fasted another time 14 days, and during a two-year period, two or three times, 7 days at a time. And he said, several of my folks have fasted several days, and we've had weeks of prayer meeting, coming to the church praying. And we're praying that God will move among us. We're praying that the gifts of the Spirit will work. And he said, it seemed like we're getting further away from it all the time. We're getting drier all the time. I don't know if Brother Goodman remembers not, but I talked to him with him. Brother Goodman said, well, that's not the way you get gifts of the Spirit to operate.
Amen.
That's not the way it's done. That won't do. Brother Goodman said, the way you have them is to preach it.
Amen.
Now, I want to show you something. You know, if you was to have an evangelistic meeting, I mean, if you just strictly what we call evangelistic service or interested in the lost, and you just come every night and pray that people be saved and never preach salvation, you never get anybody saved.
Amen.
You know you never get anybody saved? No, you wouldn't. See, he didn't say, go into all the world and pray for the lost and they'll be saved. He said, go into all the world and preach.
Amen.
Sure we're to pray. Sure we're to pray. Sure we're to back it up and pray. We understand that. But I said, if that's all we did, just gather together every night and say, God save the lost. Lord, pray. We pray that the lost will be saved. And never did preach to them. Never did witness to them. They wouldn't anybody be saved.
Amen.
Faith comes to hearing by the word of God. You got to have faith to be saved. Now, you could gather together for 100 years, if you live that long, and fast every third day for the 100 years, this group that's here right now, and just pray, God, heal the sick. Dear God, heal the sick. We pray that you'd heal the sick. And we'd never get anybody healed unless we began to preach it and teach it.
Amen.
Now, are you listening to me? Amen. Amen. That's absolute truth. That's absolute truth. Now, folks, we do get healed, but friends, are folks who've already heard the word and know what it says on that subject. And then you could gather together and just pray that God would fill believers with the Holy Spirit, and you'd never have anybody filled with the Holy Spirit till you start teaching and preaching the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. And as the word's preached, people believe that word and receive that word, walk in the light up, and they're filled with the Spirit. Well, you see, then you don't get gifts of the Spirit in operation. It's good to fast and pray. Don't misunderstand me. That's Bible and that's Scripture. And it's good to wait on God. That's Scripture. We believe in that. But I said, if we just do that and do nothing else, well, this fellow admitted himself. We've been going here for 2 years and fasting. And like he said, just desperately seeking God. Seeking that God would move. Praying that he'd come and manifest himself in our church. But you see, according to this, he was already there. Huh?
Amen.
If those folks are really, and they are, born again, Spirit-filled people, God sent them, I'm already there. I'm already among you. I said I'd walk in you. I said I'd walk among you. I said I'd live with you. I said I'd live among you. Hallelujah. Then what they needed to do was to acknowledge that he's here.
Amen.
Began to preach he's here. Praise God, he's here.
Glory.
And when they pray, not pray that he'll come by here. And when they pray, not come that he'll come and visit them. Because Jesus didn't say that the Comforter will come and visit you. He said, I'll send another Comforter that he may abide with you.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, friends, we don't realize it a lot of times, but the thing that causes us, even sometimes as full gospel churches and people, to dry up on the vine, so to speak, is our wrong believing and wrong thinking and failure to acknowledge the Word of God as really true.
Amen.
Now, one minister, I was holding a meeting for him. See, it's just mighty easy to get off on the negative foot. I was holding a meeting in this town for this minister, full gospel pastor, several years ago. And so he said to me, you know, Brother Hagin, he said, we've just enjoyed a good move of the Spirit of God here in our services, and we're having an increase right along in Sunday school, and people are being saved. Oh, not like we'd like to see the altar filled up every service, but I mean just every weekend almost, we have at least someone saved and filled with the Spirit, and people healed. Well, he said, one of the pastors called me here in town, another full gospel pastor, and wanted to get a number of the full gospel pastors together. In fact, he told me, informed him that they were getting together, and they're going to meet in this pastor's church, the one who called, on Monday morning and pray. And so this pastor told me, he said, I went over there. Well, he said, just without thinking, well, he said, this pastor told about what they'd come together for, that we're going to pray that God would send revival here. Our churches are just so dead, so dry, nothing's happening. So we said, I prayed with them. Then I went back another week and prayed with them. And then finally the third one and said the same old story. But said it dawned on me. I said, now wait a minute here, fellow. Wait a minute. Let me talk to you fellows a little bit here. Now, I don't know how it is in your church, but my church is not dry. And I don't know how it is in your church, but you may not be having any manifestations of the Spirit, but we have manifestations of the Holy Ghost every time we come to church. And he said, now, I can't just consciously join in your prayer that God would send revival, because said we've got revival in our church. We're revived. Praise God. We're having an increase every month in our Sunday school. In fact, the last several months we've had a 10% increase, you see, every month. Praise the Lord. Our people are visiting and doing personal work. And we don't hardly have a weekend, but what people are saved and filled with the Spirit. And our folks are on fire for God. And I can't join this kind of prayer, because when I get out there and pray like you fellas are praying, then I'm denying what I've already got.
That's right.
I said, what'd they say? He said, they looked at me like I thought it was crazy. I said, no, I can't pray for revival. We've got a revival. Praise God, we're revived. Praise God, I might pray God would revive you, but I can't pray God would revive us. And he said, this pastor said, I was just bold enough to say to them, now I'll tell you, just coming over here praying with you folks, this negativism is wearing off on me, and I'm going to get away from it. And so he said, I left. I couldn't get in on their prayer meeting. Now, prayer meetings are good. I'm not minimizing or speaking against prayer. Maybe you understand that. But you know what? You can enter in the wrong way and pray the wrong way and really defeat your purpose.
Amen.
Just like this, I was preaching the last time we were holding a meeting. I preached some services there, but last time I was holding a meeting with that Brother Goodwin's church. In one of the morning services, after the teaching, a lady came up. She's a Baptist lady. And she said to me and Brother Goodwin, we were standing there talking, she said, pray. I want you to pray for me. Well, we thought, you know, wants to pray right now that she'd received something. And she said, well, she had seen the light on the Holy Ghost now. And she wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, Brother Goodman said, never better time now. Yeah, but she said, I just want y'all to pray for me. But said, I couldn't receive right now. I've got some more digging to do. Well, now, Brother John Osteen was there, and he is standing right by, you know, and he's Baptist, and he knew this woman. She's Baptist, you know, and he said, now, sister, you see, the very thought that she had was what she meant by digging, because we inquired, she meant I've got some more praying to do.
Yes.
You see, I've got some more praying to do. Now, what for, see? Well, she said, get to the place where I can receive the Holy Ghost. I see it slow. I used to believe in this, but now I see it now. But I've got some more praying to do before I can get the Holy Ghost. Well, now Brother Osteen said, aren't you saved? Oh, yes. Aren't you blood-washed, born-again child of God? Yes. He said, do you believe if you were to die this minute, you'd go to heaven? Why, yes. He said, I know I would. But he said, if you're good enough to go to heaven, you're good enough to have a little more heaven in you. You don't have to do any more praying. You don't have to do any more praying. And you know, she saw that. He said, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed you from all sin. It's the blood that made you worthy to receive. It isn't something you did. It's the blood.
Amen.
It's God makes you a new creature.
Amen. So Brother Osteen, Brother Goodman, and myself prayed in that dear Baptist woman almost instantly received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
To get to speak another tongue.
Now I just said that to use as an illustration. You see, we can get on the negative side of the issue and talk ourselves out of what we already have. And talk ourselves out and even pray ourselves out of what belongs to us.
Amen.
Can you see that? Amen.
Amen.
And so here was this pastor that said we're praying and a fasting that the Holy Ghost... And you know, this is the idea that a lot of folks have got. They've got this idea that we'll pray and God will move. You know, in just some unseen fashion or an unknown way, that he'll just start moving off out here somewhere, you know. But you know he won't.
Amen.
Are you listening to me now? I remember the last church I pastored, God began to deal with me about some ministries and some things that I'm doing now. He began to deal and talk to me about some things he had said to me for 10 years before about healing and healing ministry. And so way back in the winter of 1947-48, I spent the biggest part of the time out in my church just praying, waiting on God in a positive, constructive manner, fasting some. And the Lord began to speak to me. Well, I was invited to speak to a youth meeting in our area of the country, and so I started to speak along a different line, and then other brethren were there, and so I just shared with them what the Lord had been saying to me. I said, if God called me, you brethren know it. You know other spirit-filled people do.
Yeah.
We think sometimes, you know, we're sort of a law unto ourselves, and we know everything, but we don't. You see, other folks who have the Spirit, they know too when God's moving. Though the Spirit doesn't manifest himself the same way with them, yet they know. And I said to my fellow pastors and brethren, if God called me, you know it. And I began to share with them some things that had happened, some things the Lord had said to me. And as I did, you see, the local pastor of this church had never prophesied before in his life. I don't know whether he ever did since then or not. But he suddenly stood at his feet and began to prophesy that these things were so, you know. And sort of like down at Antioch, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto have called them. And so then, the presbyter of this section for an Assembly of God meeting, the presbyter, he said, brethren, he said, that's God. And he said, the sixth committee, this lay hands on him and send him out like they did in the 13th chapter of Acts. And so the sixth committee and the presbyter laid hands on me and sent that very night and separated me unto that ministry, you see. And then the presbyter's wife had bursitis in her left shoulder. And for over a week, she had been able to get her hand to her hair. And the Spirit said to me, I heard the Spirit, that voice coming unto me saying, you call her up here and pray, or minister to her, and I'll heal her now in front of the whole crowd. This will be a sign unto you and to this congregation that I've called you to place my Spirit upon you. So I did it, and she is instantly delivered. Praise the Lord. But now here's what I said all that to get to this. I went back home from that meeting. You know, you can be where God's moving, God's a blessing, it's all wonderful. But you know, it's not like John the Baptist. He's out there preaching, and then he got in jail, and he sent some and said, you go ask him. Why, he had announced that this is. He had announced, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, hadn't he? I said, John the Baptist had said that. Behold, he had announced it as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But he got in jail up there, and he sent some of his disciples and said, you go ask him. He began to wonder about it. Well, I'll tell you, I went back home, and I went to a prayer and a Bible conference. And it's not every prayer and Bible conference you go to that's a real prayer and Bible conference. But some way or another, every speaker there, instead of encouraging people to obey God, seemed like they're opposed to people obeying God. And instead of, they're all supposed to believe in divine healing, but instead of encouraging people to practice divine healing and pray for the sick, seemed like they discouraged it and spoke negatively. In fact, some of them finally said, some leaders finally said that just one person oughtn't to pray for the sick. Well, I thought to myself, how, well, you know, I couldn't figure out as you go through the Acts of the Apostles, how come God just best to use certain ones. But he did. No, and they said that one, just one person oughtn't to pray for the sick, but said that if there were sick people in the congregation, just have everybody to pray, and that way God got all the glory. And so I'll be honest with you, I just went back home, and of course my wife, she didn't go with me, but you know, you wives always tell something wrong with her. I hadn't hardly hit the door. My wife said, "What's the matter?" Well, I said, "We're not going to leave our church. We're just going to stay here." And I told her what had happened, and I said, I'm never going to pray for the sick again as long as they live. I'll never pray for another person, never lay hands on another person. But thank God for a good wife, and my wife's not that way at all. She's never told me what to do. But she just said to me, "Yeah, we're leaving." That's the only time in her life. She said, "We've already got told the folks we're leaving. I've got everything packed up while I was gone," and said, "You're going to obey God. You're going to obey God. We're going to leave." And we did. But you see, friends, negativism will defeat you. Now, it seems to me that those folks had this kind of an idea that we'll just pray and God will move. But now, wait a minute, friends. God doesn't move off out yonder somewhere. God said, I walk in them. I'll dwell in them. He said, I'll walk with them. I'll dwell among them. Then God moves where he walks. God moves and manifests himself where he dwells. God moves and manifests himself where he is.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Oh, well, now somebody said God is everywhere. I know that. I know that in a general sense. He's everywhere. But I'm talking about where this presence of God is.
Amen.
Where this presence to be manifested is. Where this presence is to be felt. And so some people have thought they were humble and didn't know they were ignorant and really missed it. And they thought just something's going to break out somewhere where man wouldn't have anything to do with it. But friends, God's going to move through men.
Amen.
God is going to move through his church, the body.
Amen.
God is going to do his work. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to do his work through his body.
Yeah.
Now you separate your head from your body and you'll be dead.
Right.
Amen. Isn't that right? And your body, Brother Freeze, is not going to go back over at Muskogee in your head and stay here. Isn't that right?
Right?
And if we sent your body back without your head to Muskogee, they wouldn't one thing get done over there. Would it?
No.
No, sir. Are you listening to me? You never read in your Bible anywhere where the Holy Ghost ever met anybody on the street and healed them. But you read where men full of the Holy Ghost did.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? You never read anywhere where the Holy Ghost, just on his own, ever met anybody or went anywhere and filled people with the Holy Ghost. But you read where men were preaching the gospel full of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost fell.
Amen.
You read where others laid their hands on them and the Holy Ghost came and filled them. God works in line with certain laws and certain rules, folks.
Yes.
Amen. And when you understand those laws and those rules, then you can work with him. For we are workers together with him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Bible makes the statement that we are workers together with him. And then the Word of God makes the statement that Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, that cast out devils or demons. And that they'll speak with new tongues. And that they'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." And then it tells us that they went everywhere preaching the Word, the Lord working with them. Confirming the word with signs following. Praise God. They went preaching, the Lord working with them. We're workers together with him, and he works together with us. It's not a matter of man receiving any glory unto himself or taking any glory unto himself. But we do have a right to call attention to the fact of what God called us to do, and we do have a right to call attention to the fact that what we have in him. Hallelujah to Jesus. And so John said, greater is he that's in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The greater one's in you. In every place of life. In every crisis of life. Don't forget it. He's in you. Hallelujah. If he's in you, then we do have a right to sing, he's all I need.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Let's bow our head. Hallelujah. Mambro stike la frappakita. Belan shukri devro paradan sistike li vrappa. Brother Goodwin interprets.
Among my people is the mighty power of the Savior. For I have imparted unto you, even of myself, my divine nature to work in you.
Ian lo prastikara delavop. Velemonta tu stale fele hisulu ya a. Kelebratu kalava belianjka.
Beyond all the doubts of the unbelievers is the mighty power of God working in those who will accept my truth and act upon it. For I have assured you of success in this matter.
Mion sofrehefe, belachi tongre, lalo di castello hurada, evia, maloche, kurama, evia.
My own virtue is with you, and my guarantee unto you, that in my name you can cast out devils, and you can heal and make whole the sick.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to stand with me, please. And let's lift our hands and thank him together. Glory. Reverence reverence and honor be unto him both now and forevermore. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise the Lord. 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 Now let's wait just a moment. I can sense that the Spirit wants to say something else to us. Don't want to miss it. Hallelujah. Mambra tidala sola lekea, vele pratun cambra venala shustica levian galasas no, e vele pochuta escumaye cambra de.
The number of the needy among you is great, and if you are willing to humble yourself for help, I will be with you and minister unto you through the vessels that I have anointed.
And Alita and Alasi, and Alitamra and Alesie, Alitisalayo and Tiombradisasno, and Tiombradasasno, Alifripreti Esasno, Calieste Cambredeno Lefumo.
And the least among you and the greatest shall all be as one with me, and great is he who hath faith, and will dare to believe me, and will dare to state it, that I believe the Lord, and therefore receive, and go forth rejoicing in the victory that is given me.
And so by lady comprantustete che le bratoca e le mbrondo da cifra brachito calipehe soho bale e gombre venai.
And so, by laying on of the hands and by the ministering of my word and the giving forth a positive statement in your belief, shall you receive that which I have prepared for you, for it shall be ministered unto you as I have declared.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe. You believe? Lift your hand and thank him. State that you believe. Say it with your mouth. Because you believe it in your heart. Praise God. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Glory to God. Thank Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.